What he did is a lot of practice. That's sounded great. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6 this evening. Acts chapter 6. And it's good to see you out. We are in Acts chapter 6 doing our study through the book of Acts, noting the emphasis on prayer. And this is our sixth lesson that we've had opportunity to look at in this book. And so far, we have seen these things. How to wait for the promise of God, chapter 1, verse 14. How to choose new spiritual leadership, chapter 1, verse 24. How to maintain a strong church testimony, saw that in Acts chapter 2, verse 24. How to prepare for a miracle, that was in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. How to have power through prayer, we saw that in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 and 31 last week. Now, this evening, I'm going to give you the title, and then I'm going to have to define the title so you won't get mixed up. And the title tonight is How to Mum Murmuring in a Prayerful Way. How to Mum, M-U-M, Murmuring in a Prayerful Way. And I need to define this. I taught this lesson a number of years ago, and I had a young man come up to me and he says, Pastor, I think I like the lesson, but what's the word mum mean? I said, okay, I think he was thinking of his, he was a young man, I think he was thinking of his mummy, but it's actually mum, M-U-M, which means this. It means to silence or not speaking, silence or not speaking. So the title this evening is How to Mum, Be Silent, Not Speaking, Murmuring in a Prayerful Way. And we're going to begin reading in chapter 6, verse 4, where we see reference to prayer, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And also we see it in Acts chapter 6, verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Let's go to the Lord together and look at our lesson. Our Father in heaven, it's a wonderful thing to see people that want to be in your house and under your word. And we thank you for the adults that are in here with us tonight. And we thank you for the children that are in other places in the building. And pray you'll bless their teachers and bless myself as we are able to bring forth the word that we have studied tonight. And Father, we pray that you will help us to be sober in our consideration of the word, not to hear it just to hear it, but to hear it to do it. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. How to mum murmuring in a prayerful way. You know, so far as we've had opportunity to look at the book of Acts, we've only looked at the subjects of prayer, but we have seen the book of Acts unfold, and there's wonderful things taking place, things that are really, in many regards, beyond our imagination today. If you take a look, for example, at chapter 2, and you read verse 41, you will notice this wording. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's incredible, isn't it? 3,000 people saved and baptized. Notice also in chapter 4, verse 4, there's another reference to a number. It says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Just the men. That's incredible, isn't it? 3,000, 5,000, 8,000, and we're talking about the men here. Who knows how many women and children were included also. And the growth continues. When you go to chapter 5 and you take a look at verse 14, you'll notice that even though they were able to number 3,000, and even though they were able to number 5,000, now when they get to Acts chapter 5, verse 14, it says this, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. In essence, they're saying, we lost what? We've lost count. There's so many. It's just amazing. And so the church, we could say, is really thriving, and the church is really surviving, and it's really catching the attention of the people that they're ministering to there. Now, but it's also catching the attention of Satan, the adversary of Christ, and the enemy of the church, also catching attention there. And Satan, before we get to Acts chapter 6, has had two major opportunities to try to persecute the church and cause it to cease growing. You remember the first one we had opportunity to actually look at last week, and that was in chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. If you take a look at the first persecution in Acts chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6, it says this, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, Acts chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I want to summarize that first persecution. I'm not sure those are the best verses to do it. You'll see in verse 2 that they taught the people and they preached Jesus. It says that there were those who believed. We just read that a moment ago. And then chapter 4, verse 5 says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." And what did they do as they were gathered together? "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" And this is where they were told to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they said in verse 12, "But there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then they threatened them. Remember, we saw that last week in verse 21 of chapter 4. They threatened them further, but they went ahead and went back to their own company and decided they needed to keep preaching. So the first attack of Satan in chapter 4 is an attack from without, and that attack does not diminish the church and does not diminish the enthusiasm of the people as they're ministering for Jesus. So Satan attacks again. This one's in chapter 5, and you can see it summarized in Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Once again, it's an attack from without. "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." And you can just follow those verses and see, not only is there a second persecution, but that persecution actually intensifies. And again, the apostles make their stand, chapter 5, verse 29. "And Peter said, and the other apostles answered, said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And they suffered through that persecution, and the church continued to thrive and survive. So the attacks from without have not hindered the work of the Lord at this point in the early church in the book of Acts. So the tactics now change, and there's an attack from within. And the attack from within is in chapter 6, begins at verse 1, and goes down to verse 7. What's the attack like from within? Verse 1 says this, "And in those days," Acts 6:1, "when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." You see what's happening now? There's now not an attack from without. There's nobody telling them you can't preach in Jesus' name. There's nobody beating them for doing so. There's no one really giving them any difficulty at the moment from the outside. But now from within, there's murmuring. And from within, there's the accusation and charge of neglect. Let's define that word murmuring. What does it mean? Murmuring is the idea of displeasure or complaining. And it's the idea of doing it in a muttering type way. It's not the idea of just coming straight out, sharing what the problem is, dealing with it. But it's more of a like a ripple effect, under the surface type of effect, spreading from one to another to another. But also you'll see the word neglected in chapter 6, verse 1. And the word neglected means to be overlooked, or it has the idea of comparing something and seeing that one isn't getting as much as the other. That's the idea of they're neglecting. So the problem is in the church. There are widows that need to be cared for, and there are the Grecian widows, and there are the Hebrew widows, and there's the accusation that the one is being treated better than the other, or the one is being treated more poorly than the other, and that's a problem. Now, the church has the responsibility to care for widows. You can see that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, for example, and other passages of Scripture talk about that. So the idea of having the widows cared for was fine, but the problem was they didn't feel it was being done fairly, and they didn't feel they were being treated equally. And therefore, there was a murmuring, and therefore, there was an accusation and complaining. And this was the attack from within, and this is the attack that could really hurt the church. But how did we mum that murmuring? Well, we see it, first of all, in verse 4. We read it a moment ago. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer." And then we see it in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So we're looking tonight at murmuring in a prayerful way, because that's what's taking place here as Satan seeks to use an attack from within in regard to causing dissension among the brethren. Now, tonight we're only going to have 2 points. Normally we have 3 points. You're probably familiar with that by now. But tonight we're only going to have 2. And the first one is this. Ministers of the word need to be men of prayer first. Ministers of the word need to be men of prayer first. Where do we see that? Well, look, if you would, at chapter 6, verse 2, as we pick it up. We already looked at verse 1. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Ministers of the word need to be men of prayer first. I like the order that they share here, don't you? Those who were the pastors, if we could put it in that way this evening, the pastors said, you know, we have responsibilities, and we recognize that our responsibility is to minister the word of God. But we also recognize that before we can effectively minister the word of God, we need to give ourselves, verse 4, to prayer. And as we pray, and our prayers prepare us to be able to adequately minister the word. We're not doing just a student academic process. We're not trying to teach head to head. We're not trying to come up with all of the arguments and all the debates and all the discussions that are out there. But what we want to do as ministers of the word is we want to pray and receive the message that God has and then prepare and deliver that message to the people. That's what's important. Amen? Now think about this for a moment. You know, many pastors, if I can say this properly, have evolved today, and whoever's fault it is, I'm not sure, but many pastors today have evolved into being the CEO, Chief Executive Officer of a corporation, rather than a pastor giving himself to prayer and the ministry of the word. Too many times the church gets involved in doing a lot of things, and a lot of those things fall upon the pastor because he's the one that's paid to do that. He's the one that's paid to put in 40 hours. He's the one that's paid to accept that responsibility. And that's a very dangerous thing for a church to get into. And we can see that all over today. Many pastors, if you were to ask them, how much time do you give to prayer? We'd be chagrined at how little time it is. And if you say, well, why aren't you praying? They would say, well, I don't believe in prayer. Nah, that's not true. They would say, I just don't have what? Time. You know, between doing this and doing this and doing this, I just don't have time. And that's a sad thing. And many times they don't have the time because there aren't the people in the church serving, as we're going to take a look here in a moment, helping to wait on the tables and do the things that need to be done. So when we take a look at this passage of Scripture, we recognize that ministers of the word, number one, need to be men of prayer first. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, note the order of that verse. Now, with that in mind, let me note 4 things tonight. See if we can glean some more truth out of this. This will allow them to minister continually and grow. This will allow them to minister continually and grow. And you say, Pastor, where do you get that from? Well, it's in the 7th verse. We've not read it yet, but let's do so at this time. Verse 7 says this, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. When did this take place? After they got things back in order in the church. It had gotten out of order, and by the way, I want to share with you that those who were waiting on the tables, those ministers of the word who were waiting on the tables, weren't doing a very good job of it. And they weren't doing a very good job of it because they were in conflict. They wanted to pray. They wanted to minister the word, but then they had to wait on the tables and care for the widows and get the supplies and get them distributed. And things weren't getting done well because they were just overloaded and overworked. But when they got things back in perspective, wait a minute, These men of God need to pray and minister the word. What was the result? Verse 7, the church ministry continued to grow. Second thing is this. This, letting the ministers be men of prayer first, not only will allow the ministry to continue to grow, but will also allow the ministry to respect the men of God. What do I mean by that? Well, it's another verse I've not read yet. Look, if you would, at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, etc., etc. We'll look at that in a moment. The saying pleased the whole multitude. Why is that? Well, I believe it's because the people that they were ministering to realized that these disciples and these apostles were men of God who wanted to give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, and they weren't asking for help out of a selfish motivation. They were asking for help because they were overloaded and there was a problem in the church that needed to be solved. And I believe that when they suggested that, you'll notice there's no backbiting here. There's no back talking here. They didn't suggest that and somebody raised their hand in the meeting and say, wait a minute here, I'm working a full-time job. You're getting paid to do this job, fellas. They didn't say, wait a minute here, what are you afraid to get your hands dirty? You need to get your, they didn't say that at all. Why? Because they knew that these men were men of prayer. And they knew that the solution that they were presenting was a solution they had received from God through their prayer and ministry of the word. This wasn't their solution to the problem. This was God's solution to the problem, and the congregation had peace in receiving it. So when ministers of the word are men of prayer first, this will allow the ministry to continue to grow. This will allow the ministry to respect the men of God as they seek to solve and make solutions for solving problems. Number three, this will allow the ministers to have the wisdom needed to care for the problems that they incur in the church. Those problems are going to happen. Amen? We always have problems. There's never a time where we don't have problems. Sometimes they're more severe than others. Sometimes they're easier to solve than others. But we're human beings, and we're always going to have things that need to be dealt with, and we're always going to need the wisdom of God in dealing with them. These men were men of prayer first and got that wisdom to give the solution. What was that solution? Well, it says this. It says in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we, verse 4, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose. And then we have the list of the men. That'll be our second point tonight. So we look at this and say, because they were men of prayer first, and again, prayer in the early church, prayer that got them through the persecutions from without, prayer that's not now going to get them through the trial that they're having within. And now the last thing I want to note is not only were these men praying, help the ministry to continue to grow, not only will it help the ministry to respect these men in their position, not only will it help the ministers to have the wisdom to solve these problems, but it will also allow the ministers to keep things in perspective so that they can do what God wants them to do and not get distracted with all the needs that swirl around them. Distraction is a tremendous thing. There's, to be honest with you, and I'm not bellyaching about this by any means, but in 45 years of ministry now, almost 45 years of ministry, I don't think there's ever a night that I've gone to bed and said, I got the job done. It just doesn't happen. You know, you go to bed and you start thinking, boy, I should have got this, or I need to get this, or I should visit them, or I should call them, or I need to study this, or I need to prepare for that or do that. It's just never done. But there's always stuff to do. You just got to keep it in the right what? Right perspective. And things got out of perspective here. They saw the need of the widows. They tried to say, well, let's not bother anybody. Let's just deal with it ourselves. But in doing so, they were showing neglect, and it was causing murmuring. The job wasn't getting done well. There were only a certain number of them. They couldn't do it all. So they had to put things back in perspective, and as they prayed, God helped them get it back in perspective. the man of God must be a man of prayer. Let me read a quote to you, if I may. And this quote I have it actually copied here in front of me, and I just want to read it to you because it was just too good to try to paraphrase or try to put into my own thoughts. And here's what it says. A man of God must be a man of prayer. He must know what it is to wait on God in private if he is to have the power of God in public. The 12 said, our business is to spend time in the presence of God in order that we may receive a message from him and present that message in the energy of the Holy Ghost that it may be used in the building up of the saints. God grant that we may ever have this ideal before us. The men of God need to be men of prayer first. But you'll notice now, dealing with the problem proper, we move to our second point this evening, and that is this. Ministers of the tables need our prayers too. Ministers of the tables need our prayers too. And we see this in verse 5 as well as in verse 6. And the saying, that is that they choose out 7 men of honest report, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So here's our second point now. Ministers of the tables need our prayers too. Why pray over them? Well, the first thing I want us to note this evening is this. Their work, ministers of tables, is a spiritual work too. That too is a T-O-O, meaning also. I know in the past I've heard people say something like this. They've said, well, that person isn't really spiritual, so we don't want to put them in that position, teaching, for example, a Sunday school class, but they could go ahead and serve as a deacon, for example. Well, we're missing the point there, aren't we? Any of the servants that serve in the church need to be spiritually minded people. Even if it's the person who does the custodial work, even if it's the person who does the bulletin, even if it's the person who does whatever. We don't want just spiritually minded people behind the pulpit. That's a must and it's important. Can I hear an amen there? But we need to recognize all the other servants that are put together in the waiting on the tables and caring for the needs of the ministry. They need to be spiritually minded people too. You'll notice here when we take a look at our passage of scripture, there's a couple of very interesting things. And the first one is verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report. These men needed to have a testimony in the community that they were men of integrity and men of their word. Notice also, and I said needing to be a spiritual work, look again at verse 3. They need to be full of the Holy Ghost. They need to be led by the Spirit of God. Ministering to those widows and waiting on those tables is as important in God's eyes as a spiritual ministry as the apostles standing behind their pulpits preaching the Word of God. You'll notice also it goes a little bit further in verse 3, and it says, and wisdom. And where do they get that wisdom from? They get that wisdom from God. There's a wisdom that is earthly, and there's a wisdom that's heavenly. And those who serve need to have a heavenly wisdom from God. And then you'll notice also it says in the last part of verse 3, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, many people, when they look at this passage of Scripture, feel that this is talking about the deacons, that this is really setting apart the office of deacons. Now, we know for clearly that the office of a deacon is set apart in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We have the requirements of an elder, bishop. We have the requirements of the deacon right there laid out. Here in Acts, we're really looking at the requirements of servants. Same idea. The word deacon means serving. And when we're looking at this, we have to be careful that we don't classify people differently in the church based upon what they do. well, this person's spiritual, so we can make them a pastor. Or this person's spiritual, we can make them a deacon. This person's not so spiritual, so we can make them this or make them that, or give them the social calendar, or give them the schedule for this or schedule for that. No, that can be a danger and a weakness in our ministry. These seven men were all seven men that had to meet spiritual qualifications to fulfill their position, even though it was only waiting and serving the tables of the widows. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. Some churches are set up in such a fashion that they have the pastor, bishop, elder, they have deacons, and they have the deacons assisting the pastor in his ministry, and then they have trustees. And I have been involved in conversations over the years where someone has said, oh, we could never make that man a deacon, but let's put him in as a trustee because he has lots of money and he's a businessman, knows how to manage money. Well, I have said when that issue comes up, if I've been in that situation, I've said, no, that's not right. That person who's a trustee needs to be just as spiritual as that person that's a deacon, just as spiritual as that person that's a pastor, because this is a spiritual ministry that we're looking to have God's what? God's blessing on. And if that person is not one who has an honest report, if that person is not one who is full of the Holy Ghost and led by the Lord, if that person is not one who looks to God to give them the wisdom to function the way they're supposed to, then you don't want to put them in any kind of even serving capacity because it's going to cause difficulties in the church. Well, the early church understood this, and they recognized that not only do the ministers of the Word of God need to be men of prayer, but they also recognized that the ministers of the tables needed prayer, and they needed to be spiritually minded men fulfilling spiritual qualifications. But also I want you to note this. Their work is not only a spiritual work, but it's also an important work. It was a very important work. God cares for the widows. And the responsibility of the church was to help in the care of the widows, and someone in the church needed to do it. And the men who needed to do it, I'm reiterating this again, needed to be spiritually minded men, full of the Holy Spirit, with the wisdom of God in doing so. That's what we see outlined for us in verse 3. And then thirdly, their work is a serving work. You'll notice it says in chapter 6, verse 3, look ye out among you seven men. And then also you'll notice in chapter 6, verse 5, where it says this, chapter 6, verse 5 says, and the same pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, and then listed the others. And verse 6 set before the apostles, these men. They chose them from among themselves. They were people involved in the ministry, spiritually minded people who took the responsibility of caring for this important need. Now, one more point I want to make here, but before I do, I want to share this. Do you realize that this murmuring, because of the neglect in chapter 6, verse 1, could have divided the church? But they handled this murmuring in a prayerful way. The men who ministered the word prayed first, and they prayed over those whom they chose among themselves to help meet this need. I'm not thinking of anything specific here tonight, so please don't think I am. I'm kind of naive and a novice about this area and the churches and everything and all of that, but I have pastored for, like I said, well over 40 years. And it always grieves me that when there's a problem in the church, we don't pray more. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever get in a business meeting, for example, and you just sense there's tension there and there's division there and there's kind of an ugliness there? And do you ever hear somebody say, we just need to pray. Let's just stop right now and pray. And just stop, and people get on their knees and pray. Say, you know what? We're not even going to discuss this anymore tonight. And you know what? We're not going to call each other during the course of this week. We're going to just talk to God about this and come together next Sunday and see what His solution is. Wouldn't that be amazing? In essence, folks, that's what you're finding right here. That's what's taking place. There was no meeting or congregational meeting. There was no situation where they questioned what was to be done and they challenged it and made fun of the apostles because you want to get away with less work or said, we can't take this on or whatever. They just said, Lord, we've got a need here and let's prayerfully consider how to solve it. And you know what God did? He solved that work because in our Bible, we don't see this coming up again, do we? The way they solved it worked, and the murmuring, what? Ceased. Incredible, isn't it? So we see the ministers of the tables need our prayers also. Five qualifications were required for these men. These helpers were to be men. These helpers were to be believers out from among you. They were not to be outside hire. These had to be reputable people. They had to be of honest report. And they had to be spiritual people, full of the Holy Ghost, and they had to be wise people, getting their wisdom from the Spirit of God. So, what do we see lastly? Not only was ministering on the tables a spiritual work, and an important work, and a serving work, but it was also a dangerous work. How do we see it was a dangerous work? Well, the man at the top of the list, when they looked out among them for seven men, is Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And right in the very next verse, after verse 7, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And the next thing you know, he is in a situation where he defends his faith and ends up being the first recorded martyr in the New Testament church for his faith. And it wasn't one of the apostles. It was a servant ministering to the tables of the widows in the church. Isn't that amazing? And actually, we're going to see that next week. We'll see that in our next lesson, and that is going to be from the end of chapter 7, how to enter into the presence of God. That's the next time we see prayer recorded in the book of Acts, and it's pretty neat to see the way Stephen entered the presence of God. But we'll see that in our next lesson. I got one more quote I want to read to you, if I may, because I thought it was so profitable, and it says this, oh, how many a church, how many a testimony for God has been destroyed in that way, God by murmuring and evil speaking. God may be graciously working, precious souls may be being saved, and then some member gets an idea that he's not being appreciated, and a spirit of murmuring begins. And such a one goes about in the church complaining against his brethren. Little unkind things are said, reflecting on others, and so a spirit of opposition develops. And the people wonder why the work of God does not make more progress, and why there does not seem to be more power in the ministry, and why more souls are not being saved. It is all because there's a root of bitterness inside which is not judged. How many warnings we have in God's word against such things. He has told us to avoid murmuring and evil speaking. So what do we do? How to mum murmuring in a what? Prayerful way. It's important. And how we thank the Lord for the early church going through this. Two attacks from without. Satan didn't work. Now attack from within. It didn't work either. Why? Because they were a church that knew how to pray. Let's pray. Father, it's just so exciting to see this early church develop and deal with the various issues she had to deal with along the way and the emphasis about her dealing with them in prayer. And we thank you, Father, for how you took this situation that could have been explosive in this early church and resolved it so pleasantly in a way that pleased thee and pleased your people. We thank you for that example. We thank you for the times we've seen that work. Lord, clearly, if I were to go around this auditorium this evening, we would have example after example of when things looked really bad, but through prayer, things were resolved. Things that looked like they would divide us through prayer united us. Things that looked like were going to explode the ministry apart actually exploded the testimony and made it favorable in those whom were seeking to reach. So we thank you, Father, for how prayer can mum murmuring and give us the wisdom we need to resolve and solve the problems we face as we minister together, awaiting the coming of our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.